Blog Talk Radio.
This is from Kelly, Kelly, Kilimanjaro, Tanzania. Como eu protejo a lot of people here, man. Gonna go everywhere in Africa. Crime scene, I'm gonna tell you about Como eu.
You wanna hear about what I wanna tell about? Nataka kupitia, nachotaka kuongea. Como eu pati, homo, homo, eu pati. Homo, eu pati, homo, homo, eu pati.
I want to be sad.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. From time to time, we will have a special presentation on a variety of topics. Homeopathy is a show hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brooks. Please contact HWC if you would like to help support the show as a sustaining member or have suggestions for future shows. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Please share by tweeting on Twitter, posting on Facebook and MySpace, and all other social networks. You may select the widget and place the player on your blog or website. With gratitude to all our listeners, let's go! Hi, welcome to Homeopathy World Community. This is Debbie Bruck, founder and administrator of the network. It's been going for about 3 years, it's hard to believe. And today is January 11th, 2012, with a special co-host today, a special guest. We have Dr. Pawan, and I'm going to introduce him again as this is part two of the session with Dr. Pawan. He is also from India, and we spoke last time in depth about HIV, AIDS, and opportunistic diseases. To learn more about Dr. Pawan, you can simply go to homeopathyworldcommunity.com, and on the right-hand column, you'll see a picture of him. And if you click that link, you'll open a special page with a whole bunch of information, including downloads of his work. I'm going to open that page now so I can take a good look at it. I also want to make a note. Ooh. We have some background noise. So, Dr. Pawan, if you have the websites open, I would request that you put the sound off on your computer screen, on your stereo, especially if you don't have a headset on. These are just little technical things that we have to do in order not to get an echo. And I'll put your sound on in a minute. So as I was saying, for those who are listening in and want to follow along, we have right on Homeopathy World Community a link to a special page with the information. It has the recording of the previous session that you can listen to. That was last week, January 4th. And we also have a video which shows the slides of many cases which are quite dramatic of showing the transformation after homeopathic care for the opportunistic diseases of HIV AIDS. We also have a number of links to Homeo Times report and to Dr. Pawan Chandak's website with background information and photographs. For today, we also have, if you click the lymphedema, I'm not really sure on the pronunciation, lymphadenopathy, that is part of the case that he's going to present today so that you can follow along. You can open that up in a new tab and follow along. I'm going to put your sound on. Dr. Pawan, welcome. I'm so thrilled to have you back again today.
Hi, this is Dr. Pawan. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're loud and clear. And we have, even though it looks like the chat line on Blog Talk Radio does not seem to be active because you're in there, but we don't see a lot of people showing up. There are a bunch of people on Homeopathy World Community on our personal live chat who are listening in and commenting. So you have listeners.
Yes.
Okay. So how are you doing today, Dr. Pawan?
Yes, everything going fine. And I'm also enjoying the scientific and miraculous results by the homeopathy, because every day I'm getting some good news in case of the patient. Just today, I just want to share, before we start our show, I just want to share one of my experience today, that there was a case of systemic SLE, that is systemic lupus erythematosus disease, in a 35-year-old lady. In that case, the proteinuria was very much high, almost more than 5.1 milligram. And in just within 4 days, after the few doses of the Merck call in the LM potency, that is 0/3, it has came down from 5.1 to 2.5 milligram in just 4 days.
And this is this clinical measurement, and what is it that is measuring this numbers? And I want to also introduce, it seems Dr. Otto is staying on the line with us, so I'm going to put his sound on also in case he wants to chime in and make a comment or ask a question. So we have three of us on the line today.
Hi, Pawan.
Hi, Dr. Adisha.
So tell us again, just to help the listeners who are perhaps not in the medical field, this 5.1 milligrams of what is being measured?
Yes, actually, in that case, the pathologist has measured the 24-hour urine output. In that case, that is a case of this SLE, where the proteinuria was increased. After the 24-hour urine observation, it was almost more than 5.1 milligram. And after giving few doses of Merck 0/3 in the LM potency, it has came down from 5.1 to 2.5 milligram. This is the result in just 4 days. Yes.
Okay, and what is the normal level?
The normal level is up to 1 milligram, but here already this case is of SLE, and her kidney function has started deteriorating. So within just 4 days, we got this result. Yes.
So this is what we would consider quite a rapid action.
Yes.
Which defies what a lot of people think, that homeopathy is slow to take effect.
Yes, that's right.
Is it, excuse me, can I come in? Is it
yes.
Urine microalbumin you are talking about, or serum creatinine?
No, I am talking about urinary albumin. Yes.
Albumin.
Urine albumin.
Okay, thank
yes,
you very much.
Albumin.
And
yes.
the name of the remedy, perhaps you can spell it for us.
Mercor.
Oh, mercury?
Mercor.
Corrosive.
Zero.
Okay.
In the, yes. In the 0/3 potency.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes.
Okay, did you want to continue on with this case, or did you want to present some other information?
Yes, actually, in the last interview, we have shared with shared some cases on the molluscum, and we have shared the immunomodulatory action of the homeopathic medicine and antiviral properties shown by homeopathic medicine in the last interview. So this time I want to share with our listeners some cases of the herpes zoster. Can I continue?
Yes, herpes zoster, and you have that right on. If people want to follow along and look at the slides to the presentation, it is on Homeopathy World Community. You just click on the image and you will open a new page and see the slideshow.
Yes, I will just share that case of a 7-year male HIV positive child who was suffering from herpes zoster with painful skin rash, especially with blister over the right side of the lumbar region. You can see in the photograph. Then in that case, the fever was up to 101.5 degrees Fahrenheit. There was burning sensation in the affected area, also tingling sensation with sensation as if pins or needles are pricking. Patient is having weakness, chilliness. He is oversensitive to touch. The affected area is painful to touch. Even he cannot tolerate the touch of clothes. There is itching over the affected area. There was headache, malaise, body pain in the general. He is thirstless. He is having pain in the abdomen and vomiting after eating. As far as his past history is concerned, there was history of herpes zoster 2 times and history of external ear infection. He is having recurrent tendency to catch cold and otitis media. Another most important thing, that is, he is seropositive and he has got HIV through the maternal-fetal transmission. Currently, he is living at a care center for HIV positive children. His parents were seropositive and they were died due to AIDS, both mother and father. If we see the personal history and physical generals, he is having complete loss of appetite, thirstless, he is having perspiration over the forehead, his sleep was disturbed, and thermally he is chilly patient. I will come to this photograph. You can see in the PowerPoint presentation. And on his general examination, the pulse was increased around 100 per minute. Temperature is 101.5. His CD4 count is very much decreased. That is just 111. The normal CD4 count in a HIV positive child, it should be more than 550. But here, it's just 111. His first HIV test was done on 3rd of November 2006. He is having anemia, that hemoglobin is just 8 gram percentage. His ESR is also increased, that is 36 millimeter per hour. So on the basis of the history and present complaint, we have prescribed Rustox 3 doses in the morning on empty stomach, followed by the placebo for 1 week was given on 3rd of November 2008. So we'll see the follow-up. On 11th of November 2008, patient has mentioned that he is not having any pain in the abdomen. There's no any vomiting. There's a temperature was improved. It's just 9 degree Fahrenheit. Hello?
I'm here.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes. There's no any headache, no weakness. The blister over affected area was also decreased. Herpes zoster rash has started decreasing and almost it is decreased. There's no any burning pain. So this time, just few doses of Rustox 30 was given, followed by placebo for 1 week. And after that, there's no any herpes zoster, no pain, no sensitivity in the affected area, no any blister formation, no itching, no headache, no vomiting, and temperature is also normal, that is 98.6 degree Fahrenheit. So within just 15 days, you can see the photograph that we have cured this case of herpes zoster.
That's in 2 weeks.
Yes, because his CD4 count was very much decreased, just it is 111. Normally what happens that whenever the immunity get decreased, that is CD4 count get decreased, patient gets susceptible to such type of infection. So he got herpes zoster and homeopathy has cured him with the help of Rustox 30 in a few doses. Yes.
Okay. And do you have a number of cases that appear very similar to this? Is this a syndrome that people would have commonly after having HIV/AIDS?
Yes. I will just want to present our statistical result in case of herpes zoster. We have only 2 patients of herpes zoster as we are doing study, especially in the HIV positive children. So in that both cases, we are given homeopathy medicine and we got the successful result. And in that two in that cases, we found the rest of 30. Was found very much useful in case of herpes zoster. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, I have discussed in the last presentation, that we have divided our studies as we have observed some frequently observed problem in the HIV positive children, as per our experience in the last time, I also has mentioned like loss of appetite, immunization, herpes zoster, chronic diarrhea, lymphadenopathy, skin eruption, active, frequent respiratory infection, weakness, and relapsing fever. So in that cases, we have found homeopathy very much useful, and we have their statistical result also. As we will take an example of the loss of appetite, we have studied total 18 cases having loss of appetite. Out of 18, we found that 78% patient has been improved from the loss of appetite, and we have failure, means we have not got that much satisfactory result in 22% of the cases. So anyway, in case of loss of appetite, we have found that the remedies like hydrastis tincture, or in some cases Aedes nosod or sulfur venom, was found to be very much useful in improving the appetite in children. Then there is another point, that is the wasting syndrome. We have total 8 cases of the wasting syndrome. In that, we got 50-50% result. Means out of 8 cases, 4 cases has been improved, and 4 cases were unable to give the result. Why we have failure in the 4 cases? Because already those cases who are logged into our study, they were in the stage 4 condition. And the area in which they were living, it is a completely unhygienic area, and the nutrition they are not properly getting. Why in the HIV patient goes into the wasting syndrome? Because not only HIV is responsible for it, as their immunity is decreased, but at the same time, the patient needs good hygienic condition, proper nutrition, proper care is needed. So, if it is not there, only means the homeopathy medicine cannot do in such type of means stage 4 AIDS patient. We need proper hygienic care as well as a proper dietary management also. Yes.
So Hahnemann would call this obstacle to cure, or even would there be the reason for the fact that the individual has this disease due to his surroundings? If you're living in a poverty-stricken area without good sanitation and without good personal ability to do personal hygiene, mentally and emotionally, you would be in a weakened state to make these types of diseases more susceptible?
Yes, that's why I'm telling you that normally, normally what happens in India, and most of the cases which we get, they are already living in the unhygienic condition. The food is not good there. They are not getting proper nutrition, proper dietary management. Even nobody is going into that environment to go and take care of them. Still in India, there is such type of awareness problem, that people think that if we'll go there and they will get some infection. So I was fighting this condition since 2008, and still there's in some people's mind, still there's some misunderstanding that if they will go into the such area, then they will get the infection. Normally, HIV will not get spread by going into that environment or touching this HIV positive child.
So this is very, very important to emphasize. You're saying that this HIV AIDS syndrome and the herpes zoster is not contagious through going into the region or by touching, but how is it spread?
Yes, that's right. Because HIV will not get spread by touching the patient or going to that environment.
Right, so this is perhaps, yes. This is a myth that people believe, almost like a leprosy state where these people become in outcast
from society because of their disease? Is that something
yes.
that you have seen?
Yes, that's right. But now some of the thing has been changed, because I think I have shared with you some of the photographs of the social activities and awareness program is conducted by my organization. I think I have sent you some photographs and you have uploaded that photos
yes.
on my HWC page, that we have celebrated various festivals with these children. We are doing various social activities for this HIV positive children since 2008. Even that link is also posted on HWC. That whenever we meet, as we are doing this HIV project, but with that we have to do the social awareness also. We have to do for the nutritional supplement for these children. Nutritional supplements with not the artificial. We are trying our level best to provide the traditional food which is available in our area and which is having the high nutritional value that can be useful for these children, and it will help the children to improve their immunity. And if they will get the proper nutrition, then we can avoid the problems which arise due to lack of nutrition. Yes.
So is this supported by the government proper, that to give these nutritional supplements, better meals for the people who are suffering, and to provide these kinds of social activities to improve their mental state, their emotional state, and encourage them that they can get well?
Can you repeat the question one second?
The question is whether the government is helping to fund, to provide financial assistance to these children. And it sounds like many of them are orphans if their parents have died from HIV/AIDS. Whether the government provides funding for meals, nutritional meals, and for these events that you put on, to celebrations during the holidays, to encourage them mentally and emotionally and give them hope that they
yes,
can
sir.
Be well.
Yes, to be speaking frankly, just on the paper, there are various, what you call that, various schemes to provide nutrition to these orphan children, or there are various schemes to provide this nutritional meal to children, but that is only on the paper. There's no any proper implementation.
Uh-huh.
So is
this part of Ayush, or is this other programs?
Yes, sir. That's why, because I know such type of negligence occur from this funding agency as well as from the government. So we'll not go deeply, or we will not go seriously about what government is supporting. What we do, we have made our team, and through our team's effort, we are trying our level best to provide not only homeopathic medicine at free of cost to these HIV positive orphan children, but we are trying our level best to provide the nutritional support, nutritional supplement, even nutritional meal, which is having the high nutritional value, as well as we are trying our level best to celebrate each and every festival which is celebrated in India, to bring the awareness among the people, so that many people come to that care center, they celebrate that festival with the children, and due to which what happened, that the mental problems means actually the these children will get the mental support. Even we are trying that the children should get the education. Since last 3 or 4 years, they will not getting any education, and since last 1 year, we have tried our level best that these children has got admission in the school, and now they are getting the education also.
That sounds great. Is your clinic and other clinics similar to yours in India? Are they dependent upon donations from philanthropic agencies, or from just the general public who want to give donations to your facility?
Yes, actually, currently, through this type of activities and through this type of events and awareness, many local people and many of our friends means minded friends, who would like to join their hands to work for these HIV positive children. They are helping me to generate the donation for this great cause that is helping these HIV positive orphan children. Yes.
So people can donate financially small and larger amounts to clinics like yours, and also to help you as actual in action to volunteer to help to care for these children. Is that part of what the local people do also?
Yes, yes. That's why I'm mentioning that no any government or no any funding agency is helping us, but this general public is helping us to generate the donations and for this great cause that is helping HIV positive children. Yes.
So you are not getting any governmental assistance to your work?
No. I haven't received any government assistance for this project. Yes.
Okay. So we need to let people know, anyone who is listening and would like to contact you, if they would like to see you further your work and have support to provide meals or whatever it is that you need to these children. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, good. Do you want to talk further about the case we have today? About 30
lymphoma.
Minutes left.
Yes, that's a case of lymphoma.
Okay.
Actually, I would like to share the case of lymphoma in an HIV positive patient. That case is almost around 50 years old farmer. Yes, he has consulted me on 10th of the May 2011. In that case, I will just go into the chief complaint. There is swelling on the both sides of the cervical region. Patient is on HIV and he is on antiretroviral therapy since 2008. Patient is having swelling over the neck, especially over the cervical region. The swelling is on examination. The swelling is taut, immovable, with no redness and is not warm to touch. That is, the right side swelling is larger, about 6 to 7 cm, and left side swelling measures 4 to 5 cm approximately. On examination, the swelling is painless with no tendency to the suppuration and is not bothering his daily routine. When I have gone to the further inquiry, the patient has told me that he has reported the swelling at the ART center on the April 28th. And they started AKT with no result. I will just focus some lab investigation. TLC is 7000, neutrophil 64, lymphocyte 35, eosinophil 1, monocyte 0, basophil 0. ESR was 16 and serum creatinine was 0.9. Patient is positive for the triadot investigation. And in this case, the CD4 count was just 296 before treatment. A Montaux test was positive where the erythema size is more than 15 millimeters. Department of Tuberculosis and Department of ART diagnosed this case as lymphoma. Normal range of the CD4 count in a HIV positive male should be 354 to 1100. As for his age, if the age is more than 20 years, then the normal range is 354 to 1100, and in this case it was just 296. If we see the appearance, yes, appearance was robust, weight is just 60 kg, appetite decreased, thirst is average, he is having craving for the sweets and sour food, aversion, nothing, and thermally he is chilly patient. If all our listeners are having that link to the lymphadenopathy case, they can see the photograph of this case, that is before treatment. They will once again get idea about this lymphoma case. Yes.
Okay, so yeah, I want to let people know that on HWC website, when you do click on the picture for you, you reach a page and there is a link that you can open to download these file. It's a Microsoft Word document, and you will be able to see all of the data that you are explaining to us now, and
yes,
and follow along. And I apologize that I was not on the chat. For some reason, I did not open a second chat line, and it is now open if anybody wants to be on it on the Blog Talk Radio show. And I know that there are a number of people on Homeopathy World Community live chat listening in right now.
Yes, and on the Homeopathy World Community chat page, I just share that Hobby Times journal link. If our listeners are listening, then and they can click on that link to see the that case. And yes, in the forum they can see. Yes.
Okay, so it's again another quite dramatic change in the physical state of the individual. And
yes.
Okay, continue
yes.
on.
And, yes. So in this case, on the basis of the present history, and especially non-secreting glandular swelling, lymphoma, we have selected the glandular remedy, that is Phytolica, in the 30 potency, 4 pills 3 times a day for 1 month, and we will see the follow-up. On June 9, 2011, the swelling bursted and cleared off from left side. There is slight pain, no discharge, no scar. The patient was advised to investigation for CD4 count, and it has been raised, that is 523, and CDC is 1626. But in the photograph, you can see that the right side is as it is. So we have continued the Phytolica 30. We see the follow-up on 8th of July 2011. You can see in the photograph that left side is clear, right side swelling has been decreased in size. So we have continued the Phytolica, and the last follow-up you can see that 1st of August 2011, there is no any swelling on the both side, that is on right side as well as the left side, there is no any swelling. So the patient is almost cured, and you can see the last follow-up means, and that photograph also, there is no any swelling. Yes, no swelling, no lymphoma, nothing else, or there is no any discharge, no any scar, and even the CD4 count has been raised. It was at first it was 296, then 523, and the recent is 579.
That's really wonderful. Can you tell? So this was in 2011. It was just this year that you had
yes.
this case. And do you want to teach us a little bit about Phytolica as a remedy and how often you use it? How you selected it so that people understand how it came into play for this case?
Yes, actually, in this case, we can learn that the patient has responded well to the pathological prescription, and he has quickly relieved by the most severe, because as Phytolica is having affinity over the lymphatics, and as we know that many cases with the proliferative and indurative pathology responds well to homeopathic treatment. And as I have already mentioned, that Phytolica is the glandular remedy, and in this case, the basic of prescription was the non-suppurative glandular swelling. That's why I have specially prescribed Phytolica, being as a mm-hmm. glandular remedy. And the Phytolica was repeated 4 pills 3 times a day, continuously for 2 to 3 months. And within 3 months, we got this result. Because earlier patient was taking AKT, but there was no any change. After that, he has consulted the homeopathy, and he got this result.
I have a question about how the remedies are dispensed, because sometimes in some cases, we give a remedy a number of times during the day, repeatedly every day for months, and in other cases, we give simply one remedy once and then either placebo or just wait for that remedy to act. How is that selected, which you do in which case?
Yes, it's a very good question. Actually, what happened that whatever may be the potency or reputation I do, that depends upon the pathological condition of that case. In some case, I need not go want to go for any reputation, but in some cases, as this is a pathological condition, and by that time, I need a reputation. So, as everyone know that about the potency selection or reputation, there are different views, but I think every case is teaching me this new thoughts or new methods, because I cannot get fixed to one thing that in this case I have to give this just single dose and I have to wait and watch, because in this case there was a lymphoma and that was a swelling, so in which I need repetition. So I repeated it and I got the result. Yes.
Okay, so what you're explaining is that based on a case-by-case basis, you're making a new decision and you're constantly learning from each case because each one presents slightly differently?
Yes, yes, that's right.
Okay.
Yes.
So when you have a case of glandular swelling as this one, you used the phytolacca and you repeated it each day on a continuous basis due to its pathology and the organ that was diseased?
Yes, yes, that's right. I repeated phytolacca especially due to the pathology and I got this result. Yes.
Okay. In the chat, I'm going to go back a little bit. I did not realize that we had a little bit of a discussion going on. Dr. Somanath also tells me not to become too emotional, but actually it's very important that people not carry on a myth that they do not understand in terms of what diseases are contagious, what can be contracted in what method, whether it is through contact, whether it is through sneezing or coughing, whether it is through touching, or even to be in the same room as another person. So this is really important information for people to learn and be knowledgeable about the fact that they can be near other people who have HIV/AIDS or some of these opportunistic diseases, and they will not contract the disease, but they can spiritually help the other person by showing them compassion, as the Dalai Lama would say, and help and support and assistance in their state of being while they have the disease, and also to help by giving them their fulfilling basic needs that they have. I just interjected that because I noticed that there was a comment on the chat for that. Did you have any other presentation today, or
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead then, because we have about 20 minutes.
Yes. Actually, by that time, we have very less time, so I will complete the remaining statistical result. That we have almost we'll focus on the chronic diarrhea. We have almost 11 child cases who were suffering from the chronic diarrhea. So after giving homeopathy medicine, we found that 73% child has got very good result and 27% children has not improved. So in that chronic diarrhea cases, we found that the remedies like acid phos in the 30 potency and chaparral amargosa in the tincture form, these two remedies have found most effective as per my experience in the chronic diarrhea cases. Yes. And there's another slide where in the lymphadenopathy, we have 8 cases suffering from the lymphadenopathy. Lymphadenopathy is very much common in the HIV positive children. This occurs especially in the stage 3 and stage 4 condition. So we have 8 cases suffering from lymphadenopathy. And after giving homeopathy medicine, we found that 75% cases has got result and only 25% cases has not improved. In my experience, I found cystus canadensis, 30 has been helpful.
So which yes. remedy is that?
It's a cystus canadensis 30.
Okay.
Cystus canadensis in the 30 potency. I found that this medicine is having very good result in decreasing the lymphadenopathy, especially in the HIV positive children. This cervical lymphadenopathy is very much common. Yes. Another, as you all know, that in the starting symptom of this HIV, the most patient get oral thrush or candidiasis, or some patient will get some female patient will get vaginal acne, mouth ulcers, stomatitis. So we have studied almost 8 cases suffering from this acne of various type, and we found that 87% patient has got very good result with the homeopathic medicine, especially acid sulfuric acid in the 30 potency, and in some cases nitric acid in the 1 mg potency. I will just share with you if our viewers is having that PowerPoint presentation in front of them. They can see this after sulfur case. Before treatment, you can see the photograph on the left side, that there is swelling, even the ulcer is there inside the upper lip, even a slight bleeding is there, some candidal type of white patches are there. And after giving acid sulfuric acid in a 30 potency, in just 1 week, patient has got improvement.
Okay.
Another thing, as we all know, that homeopathy is having very good specialization in case of skin problems like allergic drug rash, recurrent boils, pustular eruption, herpes genitalis, tinea infection like tinea capitis, tinea labialis, prickly heat. These are the common skin problems what we have observed in the HIV positive children. So we have studied 13 child cases suffering from this type of recurrent skin problems. And after giving homeopathic medicine, we found that 77% has got improvement, 50% cases has not got any improvement, and 8% cases are under treatment. So we found that sulfur 1 mg to be very much important medicine in decreasing the skin problem. Also echinacea Q is having very good role, which we can give as a supportive medicine in case of the skin problems. Then another problems we have found, especially in those HIV positive children who are living in a care center, as we know that is the scabies, as we all know how the scabies occur, and these children are susceptible to this type of infection. So we have studied 15 HIV positive children who is suffering from the scabies, and after giving homeopathic medicine, we got improvement in the 93% of the cases. And there was no any patient who has not got any improvement. And we have found medicine, especially on the basis of individual totality, like croton tick in the 200 potency.
So which one is this? Can you put it out for us? Crotalus?
Yes.
Crotalus. And this is for scabies, you're saying?
Scabies.
Croton. Yes. Croton.
Croton tick.
Croton tick. Okay, and sorinum. Okay.
Sorinum and sulfavonium.
Okay.
These medicines I have given on the basis of the individual totality. Not in the all cases. We have prescribed medicine on the individual totality, and we have found that croton tea or sulfavonium or sorinum 1 mg are having very good result in decreasing the scabies infection. Just for example, I have given one photograph of the scabies before treatment. And you can see the second photograph that patient has been cured after treatment. These are another photograph of this scabies before treatment, and in the next slide it is cured after treatment. So these are the results we are having. Normally in the allopathy, we all know that the treatment is somewhat lengthy, that they give some lotions to all the children. There are lots of precaution, lots of measures. There's a general hygienic measure that we have to take. But with that, if we give the homeopathic medicine, then surely we get the good and successful result. Yes.
Very, very interesting topic and information, that these specific remedies that you've been using seem to really make an effect for these children. So you use the three, croton, tigrum, and sarinum and sulfur for the scabies types of cases. And then you also had for the lymphoma, the glandular diseases, you were using the phytolacca, and I think you named a couple of others that were good for the glands. And
yes.
Right, and then let me see, we have Dr. Somanath. He has been lively on the chat, putting in some information where he says that full-blown pulmonary tuberculosis in an HIV/AIDS patient, we will see coughing with droplets, which means that that could potentially be contagious because it's TB. And then in the cases of the herpes zoster, tinea, and molluscum, would you say that it can be spread through skin-to-skin contact?
Yes, yes. I will clear. Let me clear.
Okay.
If in that care center, if any child is having pulmonary cough and he's under treatment for the AKT, by that time, there's a rule that if any child is having herpes zoster or pulmonary cough, normally we isolate the child, especially that child who is having herpes zoster. Normally what happened that already these children are most susceptible to the skin problem. So whatever we do, if any child is having herpes zoster, we isolate that child from the other child. So automatically that infection we can stop. Another thing what we do, that is in case of pulmonary cough, as you have mentioned, that is this infection can spread by the droplet route or through the sneezing. So we use mask. So that mask has been given to the child who is suffering from the cough. So automatically it will help to minimize the infection. Yes.
Okay, thank you very much for clarifying that. We also have Dr. Somanath has been asking regarding the biopsies that are done to confirm lymphoma. So you are going into the lab and having biopsies and confirming through testing and diagnostics.
Yes.
Okay.
Before starting AKT, not basically AKT, if Montaux is positive, that is not the indicator for starting anti-cox treatment. Normally, they go for the biopsy like FNAC, and when FNAC report shows that this case is having lymphoma, only after that the AKT has started. Yes. And when the almost 2 months has passed, when there is no any improvement in that case, so that patient has consulted me, that doctor, I'm having such problems, and order history, you all know in that case history detail. Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. So that FNAC is for fine needle aspiration cytology. For the folks who are not in the medical field and are just listening into our show, this is, and I want to repeat again, the Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio shows are educational, creating awareness. They are not for self-diagnosis. They are not a prescription. We are not advocating that you take this on yourself, that you do find a competent, professional, experienced physician and homeopath to take care of your case and to help you. You may always contact us if you
need a reference. If you are looking for somebody to help you, we have thousands of homeopaths on our network, on Homeopathy World Community, and probably someone in your location. So I just put in that little plug and a word of caution that these are serious diseases and you need to have someone overseeing your health.
Yes, yes. And I will also share the some remaining problems, what we have observed in the children, like frequent respiratory infection. We know that due to decreased immunity in the children, these children recurrently complains about the frequent respiratory complaints like cold, coryza, cough, throat infection, bronchitis, or tuberculosis-related problem or pneumonia. So we have studied 9 child suffering from this recurrent respiratory infection, and we found that after giving homeopathic medicine, 78% cases has got improvement, and were unable to give improvement in just 22% of the cases. So our success rate after giving homeopathic medicine, especially Alzheimer's in the 200 potency or in some cases in the 6x potency, tuberculum 1m and pulsatilla has found most effective medicine in decreasing the frequent respiratory problems. Yes. And another...
Okay, this is when after the HIV-AIDS, the respiratory system has been affected and the immune system is weakened. And so you're selecting now remedies that are helpful to the lungs and to improve the breathing. So you mentioned one other remedy besides the tuberculinum 1M. What was the other one? Or was that all?
Another one that is Arsiod.
Oh, arsenicum iodatum. Okay.
And pulsatilla. Pulsatilla is very much useful medicine, what we have found.
Okay.
In decreasing the respiratory infection in the children. Yes.
Okay, so in these three remedies, you're selecting them based on the symptomatology, so that you would see like for the pulsatilla child needing a lot of support, a lot of comfort, and maybe thick, creamy type of discharges, and not a thirsty individual. So that's how you would select to give the pulsatilla. Can you explain how you would select the arsenicum iodatum and the tuberculinum?
Yes, actually, as we have found the most effective medicine like arsenicum, tuberculum, or pulsatilla, it doesn't mean that these are the only medicine in which are useful for decreasing respiratory infection. As we have 9 child, and the 9 child we have prescribed medicine on the basis of the symptomatology, what we have found. So on the basis of that symptomatology, we have prescribed the medicine, and I have mentioned those medicines where we have found this medicine is having improvement. So what we are doing, we are not giving any specifics. We are giving medicine on the basis of the available symptomatology. Why tuberculum 1M I have mentioned that tuberculum 1M is the medicine which is useful for decreasing the recurrent respiratory problem. As in these children, in some children, there was a tubercular tendency or tuberculomism. So, where we have found this tuberculum 1M to be useful medicine. There were some cases who were already on the AKT, but they are getting recurrent respiratory problems. So, in that cases, we have found iodide to be very, very much useful medicine. In some cases, we have found pulsatilla. Yes.
Can you repeat again? Because I was thinking while you were talking. So the arsenicum iodatum, I didn't hear exactly what you said. I would assume that the individual is feeling rather warm and maybe loss of weight.
Yes. As in the Cox patient, what happened that patient is having other problems which is due to Cox, like loss of weight, even he's having some respiratory problems like breathing difficulty or weakness, emaciation, such type of problem. In such cases, I have found arthrite to be very much useful medicine in those cases who are especially suffering from the tuberculosis and are on AKT, but even on AKT, they are not getting that much result. So in such cases, we can give homeopathic medicine with AKT, and these are the results. Yes.
Okay, thank you. So where are we now in the slides?
Yes, and now another frequently problem, that is the weakness. Yeah, especially in the history, many patients complain of the weakness, and even when we examine that patient, we observe that weakness. So weakness in the HIV positive may arise due to repeated respiratory infection, gastrointestinal problems like diarrhea, appetite disorder, anemic condition, liver problems, and even opportunistic infection like tuberculosis. So we have studied almost 14 child cases having weakness, and we have found that 71% child has got improvement in the weakness, and we have found the most effective medicine like acid phosphoricum in the 200 potency and vanadium in the 30 potency that help us to decrease the weakness. Even especially in case of vanadium, I will just if we have time, I will just focus on slight thing about the vanadium. Even if you will go into the Borix Multimedica, it is a very beautiful thing to mention about the vanadium.
Okay.
Miss, normally what about? Yes.
I've got my book right next to me. Okay. I'm going to open it up with you. So valerium,
yes.
And I probably did not spell it correctly on there. You hear
vanadium,
let me spell it for the listeners. V A L E R I A N. Valerian. V A L E R I A N.
No. Actually, it's vanadium.
Oh, vanadium. V A N A D I U M. Aha. Okay.
Yes.
Vanadium.
Yes.
So it's a metal.
Yes, and it is very good medicine, especially in the stage 4 condition and in the wasting diseases. Borix has a very good mention about the vanadium. It acts as an oxygen carrier and a catalyzer. That's why it's used in the wasting diseases. Vanadium increases the amount of hemoglobin. It also combines its oxygen with toxins and destroys their virulence. It increases and stimulates phagocytes. This is the remedy which is having very good effects, especially in the HIV and in the wasting diseases. That's why I have mentioned here that vanadium to be a very good useful medicine. Even why acid phos? Actually, in case of the chronic diarrhea, there occurs weakness, and in that cases, acid phos help us not only to stop the diarrhea, but it will help us to help us for the post effects of the diarrhea. That's the weakness which happens after the diarrhea. Yes.
Oh, looks like our show is going to end in about 90 seconds. So we really, really appreciate your presentation. It was awesome. We've learned so much. And so we're going to have to end because our time is up. And I can't thank you enough, Dr. Pawan, for being with us on the second
thank
show
you.
With you.
Yes,
and we
you.
wish you very, very good luck in the future with your work. And I'm sure many other people will be happy to contact you and learn more about what you're doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Homeopathy
Bye.
World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopath Debbie Brock and special guests. We encourage you to follow our show, favorite the show, click the reminder button to receive email notices when shows air. Share with your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Send in your comments and questions. See you the next time.